obviously, you can't lay the situation that the economy is in right now at the foot of any one individual. And clearly, it's been difficult for states across the country to attract jobs. Wisconsin hasn't necessarily been able to create the 250,000 private sector jobs that Governor Walker has been shooting for yet. What other steps do you want to see the governor take to make this state more attractive for business to come and settle here?
Well, I think you hit on something very important, that no one politician can create jobs. They need to create an environment that is favorable for job creation. I think it's going to be a combination of obviously your state economy goes along with your federal economy. I mean, the national economy has to be thriving for any state to really see any sort of a boom, and especially to hit any sort of a 250,000 job goal or something like that. But as far as what he can do, I think it's continue the same steps that they've been talking about. I mean, it does come down to getting government out of the way and let the job creators actually create jobs. And this has to happen on a federal level as well for any sort of, real economic growth to happen, I think. But at a state level, there's certainly things you're looking at. This new mining bill that's coming up. It's at least a discussion about how do we create these jobs instead of simply how do we stop these jobs from being created. And that's something that Governor Walker needs to be applauded for, because we're talking about it in the right context. How do we get government out of the way so these jobs are created? And, I guess the mining bill would be a good example of reducing government to the point where jobs can be created.
I would imagine it's pretty difficult for your organization and its members to be going out trying to advocate that this is working when you have a recall process going on at the same time.
Not really, because if people take a look at our 9-minute educational video that we put together, I've yet to see any strong rebuttal to it. It's factual, and certainly the left is very fired up. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Their power that they've had for a long time is being taken away. But when you look at the actual policies, I think it's pretty clear it is working. And again, it comes down to facts. There's no doubt about it that this was necessary, and it is working.
But doesn't this pose a threat to unions, not just public, but extending into the private sector, that they will in fact lose their power? Doesn't that just create conditions that aren't beneficial for the worker, which are the citizens of Wisconsin?
Well, I think Governor Walker's made it pretty clear that he's not going to push for any policies that affect the private sector unions. I guess I don't speak for him, so I don't know ultimately if there's any sort of a goal to do that. But it's very much different in the public sector in how the unions have really been able to create a system that favors them very much in terms of power. They have elected people that give them favorable treatment, and in turn they grow, and then they are able to support additional candidates for local, state, federal office, who then they go and talk to again about creating more power. And it's a vicious cycle that has really created some abuses that needed to be addressed. And that's why collective bargaining became such an important discussion point in the past year.
So this is about politics. This is about political power.
No, I think it's about balancing a budget. But when it comes to, I think, the other side, certainly the left, is worried about power being taken away from them. But I guess if you want to talk about the power, we would argue that the power has been given back to the taxpayers and given back to the officials that need it. Unions have built up their strength for a long period of time, and there's certainly a place for them in the workplace. But unfortunately, they abused the privilege that was given to them, and because of that, when push came to shove, we had to balance a budget, and the biggest place to look at was employment costs, and that's why we are where we are.
What exactly was the abuse?
Well, I think you look at some of the sick leave scams, overtime abuses that we've seen in a number of departments. Some of the unwillingness to take cuts that were necessary.
Over the last 2 years, public employees have actually taken pay cuts. They took furloughs under Governor Doyle and then under Governor Walker, and then he proposed the collective bargaining strip. So public employees did actually take cuts before this budget repair bill.
To the extent that private sector workers have?
Pretty much.
I would disagree. You have a lot of people in the private sector who have lost their jobs, and now you're asking them to pay more in taxes. One thing you're not seeing at a public sector level is incredible amounts of layoffs. We haven't seen the mass layoffs that some other states have had to do. If you talk to the people who have been looking for jobs in the private sector, I think they would say that the cuts that have happened in the public sector are not as bad as them losing their jobs, especially at a time when we're going into Christmas and they've been looking for work for quite some time.
What is your vision for Wisconsin's future? What does Americans for Prosperity want to see happen here in this state, especially as this recall drive continues?
Well, I mean, prosperity comes down to, you know, a very specific principle that we believe in is economic freedom. And we think that as we promote economic freedom, ultimately that will grow our economy by, you know, keeping government small in relation to the size of the economy, by protecting personal property rights, by, you know, maintaining unlimited government through and through. Government doesn't create jobs. A lot of times it destroys them. And that's where our belief is. So as long as we can continue to educate and inform the electorate and citizens across Wisconsin, you know, we have hope for Wisconsin. There's no doubt that we can be a strong state in this nation, but, you know, there's certainly work to be done.
There's been a lot of talk on both sides about the influence of outside money coming into Wisconsin and, you know, vested interests from outside the state coming in and trying to influence the conversation that's going on here. There have been accusations that unions were bringing in people from out of state. There have been accusations that Governor Walker is connected with the Koch brothers and that the Tea Party movement is funded by large corporate interests. What is your response to people who are saying that the support for Governor Walker is being funded and influenced by people outside of Wisconsin?
I would say that those people can't win on the issues. It's an easy talking point to scare people into thinking that, but I'll tell you something. We have 113,000 members in the state of Wisconsin. These are people who identify with us on economic freedom and limited government free market principles. Those are the people that really drive any sort of grassroots support for what has happened. You can't manufacture that with money. You just can't do it. And, you know, I've had, you know, little old ladies give me a $2 bill and say, I wish I could do more. There are a lot of people. Americans for Prosperity has over 90,000 donors across the United States that help us to, you know, to keep the lights on. And, you know, we're certainly willing to work with anybody who believes in our cause. But I think it just becomes a political talking point for many who don't want to debate the issues.